Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Real Life with Rich in Christ. I was trying to schedule an episode the other day on this show, and for this show, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't figure it out. I'm not very tech savvy, and so today I was talking to my ministry partner, and the show was supposed to be at 9:30, she said, "Are you going to do the show?" And I thought, "Oh man, I got to get over there and get that scheduled." And when I needed it, God gave me the grace to be able to schedule it. So, and that's really what this show is all about. It's about the real life issues of every day. That was a real life issue for me, and God gave me the grace to be able to do it when I needed it. And that's exactly the way God works when you trust Him in the way that He wants us to trust Him. There's a form of Christianity out there today that says that if you do enough for God, God will do enough for you. And that means you need to read your Bible enough. You need to pray enough. You need to go to church enough. You need to tithe enough. And that's really not what the gospel of grace is all about. The gospel of grace is about a man who came to the earth that was the container of his Father. He showed up in the most unassuming way possible as a brand new baby. I mean, there's nothing less intimidating than a brand new baby. Nothing. Not only that, but he showed up in the lowliest of ways and slept in a food trough. He was born in a food trough, which is really good because he is the bread of life. So it's a really a neat parallel on who he was and who he is. And he grew up in a regular life, and at a certain point in time, his ministry was recognized. I guess you could say that. And it didn't last very long, 3 years. And the people that he chose were a ragtag bunch of selfish nobodies. You know, they were nothing. You know, there's a band from the 80s called Motley Crue. That's who they were. They were a Motley Crue. You know, you had a tax collector that his job was to rip off his own people by being an informer of Rome. You had a prostitute or two in there. You had a hot-headed fisherman. You had a couple of brothers who were vying for the number one position next to Jesus. I mean, this is who Jesus chose. And you know what? It's who Jesus chooses today. He chooses the lowly and the base and the things that are not to confound the things that are. That's who He chooses. So today, if you're sitting, as so many are, unemployed, maybe you're sitting with a sickness that you can't deal with or you don't know how to deal with. Maybe your kids are going crazy out there. And, you know, you've been praying for them your whole life, and now you're wondering why they're going crazy. Well, that's why, because you're praying for them, because God wants to take them into something even deeper than what you've gone into. And He does that not by some kind of a grace pixie dust. You know, it's through life. You know, when I was thinking of a name for this show, it came to me 5 minutes before my first show. You know, God has always worked with me on a need-to-know basis. He's always worked through with me on a process of elimination, in that He eliminates everything that is not Him for me. And so I had it when I needed it. And that's really the theme of this show, I guess. This show is not canned or planned. There's not sermon notes. I was going to read something out of my book, and I may or may not, depending on how the Spirit wants to do this today. But But, you know, I just really feel that today this show is for people who are broken, weighed down with the cares of life, and you know who you are. You know, there's not going to be prophetic utterances here, and there's not going to be any begging for money. Everything this ministry is about is free. I just ordered 75 books at a cost of $225. I'll send those out postage paid around the world, and when they go international, that's $10 per book. And everything we do is free of charge. I life coach free of charge. I counsel free of charge. Everything I write, there's no copyright on it. It's all free. And so God wants to minister to somebody today who is broken and bowed down and who's wondering where he is, because I've been there so many times I can't count. And I've been there recently, just to let you know. I've been walking this narrow path that leads to life for 34 years, and I'm just as human today as I was the day I started. You know, there's no spiritual Superman in the kingdom of God. There's only people that know that apart from him, we can do nothing. You want maturity? That's maturity right there. That's the mark of maturity. Write it down, because it's the greatest thing you're ever going to know. You cannot do anything apart from him. He is your life. And so I ordered a bunch of books, and they're going to go out to people. I've got a list of people that I've asked for them. And we don't promote conferences. We don't promote big meetings. We don't do any of that stuff. We love the church. We love the people of the church. We just don't like the system that the people have been indoctrinated into. That's what we don't like. And there's a difference. There's a difference between the real church, which is not brick and mortar. It's the church that Paul said is written on hearts, tablets of human hearts, not tablets of stone. It's not brick and mortar, it's people. And there are wolves out there that are preying on God's sheep, and Jesus always leaves the 99 for the one. Yesterday I was talking to my ministry partner, Joan, and we go for a walk every day, and we talk on our cell phone. She's in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm in Rutherford, Texas. And she was bursting at the seams because her would-have-been daughter-in-law, I guess, it's the mother of her grandson, wrote on her Facebook a few days ago that, you know, a sweet prayer, God, I want you in my life. I want Jesus as my Lord. And we prayed for this lady months and months ago. And when Joni shared that with me, the Spirit of God said to me, see, Rich, my word does never return void. And so Joni's going to contact her and then send her one of our books for free. And that's exactly what God does. God meets us exactly where we are all the time. It doesn't matter if we need a job. It doesn't matter. We don't need a job. We need Jesus Christ, because the job is in Christ. I just wrote an article this week. It's by his divine power we have received everything pertaining to life and godliness. Life is Christ. Godliness is Christ. The power is Christ. Everything we need is Christ. We don't have an end Christ relationship. That ended when Jesus said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. You want an end Christ relationship? Go ahead. Keep striving for the Christian brass ring. Because let me tell you something. Every time you get close, the enemy of your soul will make sure he moves it another rung on the ladder. I ran after the Christian brass ring most of my life. I'm not speaking by head knowledge. I'm speaking by experience, losing it all to gain Christ. Am I perfect? No, I am not. Do I deal with issues of life every single day? Paul said, I burn inwardly. That was Paul, the Apostle Paul, the one that wrote most of the New Testament. You know, there's something about broken and weak humanity that God loves. He doesn't abhor us in our weakness. Look at the lady who came and broke the perfume over Jesus' feet, fell down on his feet, wept, wiped his feet with her perfumed hair, and now his feet. And it says the fragrance went throughout the whole place. And those religious Pharisees, you know what? I could see them after everybody left, taking out the Ajax or whatever the equivalent was of that day, and trying to wash down everything to get that scent out of that room. And that's the scent of Jesus Christ meeting us in our weakness. There's no strong Christians. That crap that you're hearing about strengthening yourself in God and pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, and with the help of God you'll do this, that, and the other thing, it's just what it is. It's dung. Paul preached it. Paul lived it. And Paul said, I consider it dung, all loss. And if you want a real relationship with a real God in reference to your real issues of life, there's only one thing God wants from you. Everything. Everything, guys. He won't settle for any less. God isn't going to be mocked. And it's not a punishment. God isn't going to be mocked because he wants to give you the keys to the kingdom. He wants you to know him in a way that you've never known him before. He wants you sitting there, Mr. Whoever or Mrs. Whoever or Miss Whoever, worrying about your life, wondering what's going to happen. Read Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, 34 is the verse God saved me with in rehab for alcohol and drugs in April of 1981. And I was never big on the Gospels most of my Christian life. But Matthew chapter 6, listen to me. Matthew chapter 6 is a chapter that is there to show you that God will never, ever, ever abandon you. Ever. Yesterday, Linda and I were in line at McDonald's, and every other day I get 4 senior coffees with 5 creams. And I take them home and I drink them over that day, and Linda has 1 and I drink 3. And we were sitting in the McDonald's line, and all these birds are flying around. And they're just over there for some reason in this one area of town. And we were watching the birds, and they get up and they'd fly, and they'd all fly in the same direction. And then they'd land, and then they'd all get up at the same time. And, you know, God is orchestrating that. God is the one that takes care of the birds of the air. They're not storing away in barns. They're not building bigger barns, tearing them down, and building them again. God didn't commend that man in that parable. Jesus didn't commend that man. He didn't commend the man who came at midnight. Listen, guys, that is not a good thing to come bothering your neighbor at midnight for bread because your travelers happen to show up. Jesus is making a statement. He is saying he got what he wanted because he worked hard enough to get it. It's called importunity, and the flesh has enough importunity that it will run after what it wants, and it will get what it gets. That's what Jesus was saying. If that man was a man of God, he wouldn't have bothered his neighbor at night. If that man was a man of God, he wouldn't have been thinking of himself. Well, running around and preparing for his neighbor, he would have prepared for them long before they would have got there. He would have greeted them with something to eat. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ turned on its ear from the gospel of grace plus law. This is God taking what man has meant to be a burden, and showing us that his burden is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. If God be for you, who can be against you? You know what my answer to that is? Have you ever thought of that? Answer the question. That's what I say all the time. Answer the question. If God is for you, who can be against you? The answer is only God. Only God can be against you. And guess what? He's not. He's for you. He's always been for you. He was for you when you were a drunk. He was for you when you were a prostitute. He was for you when you were bilking funds from your company. He was for you when you were lying to your family. He's always for you. And you can't change yourself. Only God can cause that internal change. Only God can take you to the end of all things you and then reveal to you who he is. Only God can show you that the punishing, distant, and impersonal version of Jesus Christ that is out there today, mega, in churches throughout the world, only God can show you that Jesus Christ is not that person. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 11:3 and 4. Read it. He said, another Jesus, a different gospel, another spirit. That's not talking about Mormonism. That's not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses or The Way or any other Christian cult. Okay, somebody accused me last week of being a Jim Jones. You know, I'm not Jim Jones. I'm Christ in me. That's who I am. I'm a container of God. I'm the vessel, temple, branch, lamp that Christ decided long ago he was going to work his positive power through my negative weakness so that his power could be manifested in humanity. And the people that follow this ministry, which is not my ministry, the people that would follow this ministry could see, if God could save that clown, what can he do in my life? I'm here as the poster boy of failure and weakness. That's what I'm here for. And I'm glorying in my weakness. I'm praising God, and I'm glorying in the fact that God loves me right here where I am. And he couldn't love me anymore. I wrote an article the other day, God's Diamond Love. God's love is like a many-faceted diamond, folks. You stand at one place, and that diamond looks, it's got a color that is other than another color. You see the prisms of light in that diamond from one position to the next. That's the love of God. And sometimes the love of God looks like the Pharisees being thrown out of their ear, the temple. Sometimes the love of God looks like the blind man being healed. Sometimes the love of God looks like Pilate taking Jesus to the cross. But it's all the love of God. And there's not one form of the love of God that is different from the other. The watchmen sitting on the wall love the sheep so much that they sit on the wall. Who else is sitting on the wall? Who else is paying the price? Who else is saying, God is my all in all? The watchmen, the true watchmen, who have no ulterior motives, who don't come at the end of their sermon and say, well, if you send your money now to me over here, then you can sow your seed and you can get your harvest. That is all crap with a capital C. Freely you've received and freely you give. Look up 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says, I preach this gospel free of charge, and I don't even take advantage of the privileges that are the minister's privileges. My privilege is that I am chosen to preach this gospel, period. And I rely on God only God only now for everything. That's a true minister of grace. Because the people that are losing their jobs, losing their homes, are looking to this man and saying, oh God, look at him trust you. Oh God, look at him, he's losing everything and he still loves you. Oh God, I can do that. I can walk in that weakness. That's the one thing I have, God. That's the one asset that I can bring to you, Lord, is my absolute inability to do anything for you. That's real Christianity, guys. Everything else is a lie. And there's people going to hear this today that don't like it. I don't care. I am passionate about exposing the wolves in the church, and I always will be. And the people that know me know that. There's no shrinking back with me. My face is set like flint. Not because I hate the church, because I love the church. I love the church. I lay my life down for the church. And I expose the church. Just like I would tell my kid, if he's shooting crack in his bedroom, you know what, you're going to rehab, you're going to detox right now. I'm not going to let you sit there and smoke yourself to death. I'm not going to let you inject needles in your arms and say that I love you. And that's exactly what religion does. It injects death in you, and it tells you that that God loves you at the same time. And I just got that now from the Spirit of God. Wow, that's powerful. That's what performance-based Christianity does. On one hand, it tells you that God loves you, and it shows you God loves you, but it injects something in you that causes you to keep wanting to perform for God like some kind of a circus monkey. That's not my God. My God loves me exactly as I am, and he always has. My God laid the foundation in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, the foundation being the unconditional, no-strings-attached love of God and the fact that he would never, ever, 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 ever abandon me. And he didn't, and he hasn't, and he won't. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us now. That's our God. Our God loves us. He loves us exactly as we are. And I preach the love of Christ. And I make no apologies to anybody. None. This is what God has chosen to do in me for 34 years. And I know who I have believed, that he is able to keep that which I've entrusted to him against that day. That day is today. Today, folks, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart like they did in the wilderness. But today, receive Christ as he is, as you are. Receive him. Receive him. That's it. It's that simple. Turn your heart to Christ. God doesn't look on the outward form. He looks on Jesus Christ in you, who is in you and as you, right here and right now. That's who he is. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this. Hopefully I can get through it. It's called Nothing is Lost. It's out of my book, Rich in Christ, day 16. When they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost, John 6:12. Jesus is our Lord. He is also our Savior, the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And as such, we need to know that he never forgets about anything that concerns his creation. It may seem like there are times when we've been forgotten, but it's in those times we can be assured nothing is lost. Even when we seemingly blow it and all of life is turned completely upside down and inside out, the times when we look in the mirror, walk away, and for a moment or even a season forget who we are, it's especially in those times we need to know that nothing is lost which concerns us, not even one fragment. Jesus just finished feeding a whole bunch of people, and while everyone else was anxious for what was next on the Jesus agenda, he was only thinking about what was lost. Even down to the smallest fragments of the leftovers that started out as a kid's lunch. The food that just minutes before meant so much to these same people was no longer needed because they were all filled. I thank God he never forgets the fragments that concern us. The times we think we're lost forever are exactly what the following verse in Romans, the verse we all know and love, is all about. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Only God can take that what seems to be lost forever, whether it be a broken relationship with a family member, a once close friendship, a lost occupation, or seemingly hopeless physical concern, and show us his eternal purposes in all of these things in Christ. He is the only one who can create life out of death and wholeness out of that which seems to be broken and lost forever. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11:24. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is a wonderful story, but it really has nothing to do with satisfying the hunger of the natural man. Communion is a wonderful experience among believers in Christ, but it's just not about remembering to eat and drink. Both the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and what we know as the communion verses are more than just external rituals. They're about seeing an internal Christ, the one who lives in us, currently willing and doing of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Christ is the very sustenance of life itself. This is where everything, good and bad, is open and laid bare before him with whom we have to do, as we see him as he is, Hebrews 4:13. And it's also here in this just as I am place where we learn of his unconditional love, where we see no matter how bad it appears, nothing is lost. Knowing him internally, not just knowing about him, is where we regularly eat his flesh and drink his blood. And now know that he cares for everything that concerns us. That includes the things that are exposed as well as the things that are still hidden. It's in knowing when he saved us completely, and that nothing is lost, not one fragment of our seeming up and down lives. Everything is always under his loving care and his watchful eye. He goes on to say, I am the bread that came down from heaven, the true manna. This means that to us, our life in him was meant to be taken in one day at a time portions. We no longer need to be a part of the try and fail cycle of death, which causes so many of God's people to live under the cloud of condemnation. We don't have to follow the different gospel of doing for God in order to be loved by him. He loves everyone freely by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And this is the eternal food and drink he gives. What is needed to bring us to the place where we never hunger or thirst again. Christ is our life. And when he saved us, he knew exactly what he was doing. It's wonderful to know that in his saving and keeping power, nothing is lost. We are saved in every sense of the word, past, present, and future. It's just as amazing when we discover he never forgets about one thing that concerns us. It might at times seem like he has forgotten. But it's precisely in those times he is teaching us the one foundational truth. This is the one truth we all need to know in order to continue to press into a deep, abiding, and real relationship with him without the fear of being reprimanded or living under the dark cloud of condemnation, the truth being that in him, nothing is lost. Day 16 in my book, Rich in Christ. Wrote it a year ago. We give it away free of charge. It is not a mini book. It is not an e-book. It's a soft cover, real book. It's 120 pages of real life stuff that you just heard, just like you heard today. If you go to my Facebook page, Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K, and you shoot me a private message with your name and address, I will send you this book free and postage paid. No obligation. No begging. There's my website in the back and my email address. And if you want to contact me, you can. If you don't, that's fine too. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for this awesome opportunity, this privilege, Lord, this privilege Paul talked of, this privilege, Lord, to be able to be the vessel that you use, God, to let people know that you love them. You are love. How can you do anything else? I ask, God, that you open the eyes and unstop the ears of those, Lord, today who may be resisting this message because they know that it's going to cost them everything. They know that the losing to gain message of the cross is the only truth. They know that Christian education has become a poor substitute for the losing to gain life of God. And I'm asking, God, today that leaders will hear this message and that leaders will understand that God loves them so much that he wants to rescue them from what they believe is the truth. If that light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Take a look at that scripture. That's exactly what it means. If what you're calling light is darkness, well, how great is it? Folks, this is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'll be back again next week. God willing, another episode. The show starts at 10 o'clock Central Time, and I hope that you can join me again. Till then, God bless.